insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers us with His mercy and gives us a better understanding of His verses that will come. First, let's hear the verses.
رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
We discussed verse 129 in the previous session, and I want to emphasize on one point in this session. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ رَبَّنَا وَابْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Our Lord, raise amongst them, amongst His progeny, an apostle from among them, which we said is the Holy Prophet, Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yatlu alayhim ayatik, who should recite to them your verses, your signs, wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah, and teach them the book and wisdom, wa yuzakkihim, and purify them. Innaka antal azizul hakim, indeed, you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. The point that we wanted to emphasize from this verse here is, as this verse notes very clearly, the reason why the Prophet and the Prophets in general have come to people and are bringing the message is to teach people and to purify them. This is the purpose of the Prophets to come. I want to emphasize that the purpose of prophets is not to come for some people to just love him and to just like him. The prophet and his progeny have not come for us to just get together and talk about what happened to them and sadden ourselves for the history and for what happened to them and their companions and to their children and to their infants and all of that. Even if we do that, the point of it is not that in and of itself, brothers and sisters. If we want to love our Prophet, if we do love our Prophet, and if we do love the Ahlul Bayt, then we need to accept what they have given us. We need to make use of what they have brought for us. They spent their time and their lives in the hardship that they did, and we all know of, for us to learn how to reach proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to learn how to stay away from hellfire, for us to learn how to live our lives such that we would be prosperous in this life and in the hereafter. If we want to honor this Prophet and his progeny and his family, the Imams and their children, if we want to honor Imam al-Husayn salamullahi alayh, we should honor them by accepting what they spent their lives on. We should honor them by helping the cause that they got slain for. We shouldn't be getting together in our programs in Muharram and in Safar and on the other occasions and just talk about how great people they were, and sadden ourselves on the sad occasions and get very happy because we follow these great people, or we like these great people actually, and not even spend a day of the year or a day of the week or a day of the month or more days to learn what they have brought to us. I mean, isn't it funny that they spent their time to teach us things, and instead of learning it, we spend our time to mourn for them and to celebrate the days of birth. That's all good. I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't do that, but that should be in line with us accepting and learning what they have brought to us. Otherwise, that is disrespect to the Prophet. That is disrespect to the Ahlul Bayt, that they have brought us things to learn, and instead of learning, we just put that aside and say, no, I don't want to learn that. All I want is to hear how great Imam Ali was. I want to hear how great he knew how to use the sword. I don't know how great his words were. I want to know how great and how well a speaker he was. Well, this is all good to know, but that's not what they wanted us to learn. They wanted us to learn how to reach proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wanted us to learn and practice, as the verse says, to purify. For us to learn and practice these certain practical laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so we can better our lives, so we can be prosperous in this life and the hereafter. To me, it seems like we're not really doing what we're supposed to be doing in honoring the Ahlul Bayt. I don't know why we think that if we get together and we spend all this time, we spend all this money for food and this and that and gifts and have all these nice recitations and all of that, it's great and we're doing our share in honoring and respecting the Ahlul Bayt. But when we look at our conduct, it does not match the conduct of the Ahlul Bayt. And when we look at what we know of the Ahlul Bayt, what we know of their lives and of what they've taught us, we can only talk about some stories we've learned about their lives, about how they lived, about when they were born, when they passed away, how they fought their battles. This is what we can remember. We can remember how many wives the Holy Prophet had, and we can remember a few other points about the history of the Imams and the Holy Prophet. That's not why the Prophet came to us. I think if a person does not know any of that history, but they know what message the Prophet brought to them, and they know what the Prophet wanted them to do, they actually practice that, the Prophet would be much more happy with that person compared to someone that knows the history of the Prophets inside out, but does not know what that message is, and also does not practice that. So, inshallah, we hope that we're able to honor the Prophet the way he wanted us to honor him, by respecting what he brought for us to learn, and learning that, and also practicing that, so we can reach that purification that he tried his whole life to bring upon us. So that's verse 129. We finish with that explanation. The next verse, verse 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins another statement that is different than what we have talked about in these few verses, which these last few verses were actually the requests that Prophet Ibrahim had from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now talks to the others regarding Prophet Ibrahim. He says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. And who will ever renounce Abraham's creed except one who fools himself? وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And we certainly chose him in the present world, and in the hereafter he will indeed be among the righteous. This last piece of it that I just read, that and we certainly chose him in the present world, is as an explanation of the astonishment that and explaining why a person that does not want to follow the creed and does not like the creed and the millah and the teachings that the Prophet Ibrahim had is a fool and is fooling himself. إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. it is astonishing for anyone to dislike that practice and those teachings of Prophet Ibrahim. How? Because this person, he's a very, very, very special person. He's one of the chosen ones in this life, and he will be one of the righteous in the hereafter. Now, I want to point out that this verse is not telling us, because the word millah means, as it's been translated to English, the creed or the teachings. A lot of times it refers to the rituals, the practices of a religion, or the religion as a whole. So this verse is telling us that who is the one who renounces, who does not like the religion of Prophet Ibrahim? It is not telling us that we should be following the teachings of Prophet Ibrahim in the sense that we need to follow the laws that Prophet Ibrahim brought. It is saying that that religion, which is the religion of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will explain that in the following verses as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, that is that religion of submission, which means that at the time of Prophet Ibrahim, the rituals that God has revealed to him need to be practiced. And when Prophet Moses comes, his teachings need to be practiced. When Prophet Jesus comes, his teachings need to be practiced. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, his teachings need to be practiced. This millah, this religion, this creed that is referred to as that creed and religion of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will try to stay away from that and would dislike that, except for someone that is fooling himself. وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. We certainly chose him in the present world, and he is from the righteous in the hereafter. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us in this life and also in the hereafter. We hope you join us in the following session, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. سبحانك يا من لا شريك له 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 سبحانك.